Good morning and a very warm welcome to Lords and the MCC's Ball by Ball commentary service here on Sportsline Media and indeed via the Lords website www.lords.org, and also if you're in the ground today here in Northwest London, also on your headsets if you're sitting listening to us. Today we have Eton against Harrow for you, a 55 over a side match and a meeting of the two old enemies in a fixture that goes back many, many years, many decades and centuries, in fact, which will be underway, as you probably heard the bell from the pavilion at the opposite end of the ground from us here in the media centre at the nursery and was just rung. And play will be starting in around about 5 minutes' time. Very good morning to you. It's Adam Williams here from the MCC's Ball by Ball commentary team. You'll also be hearing throughout the day from Tim Beard, Keith Metcalf, Simon Halliday and Andy Miles. So the news from the toss for you, which happened around about 25 minutes ago, is that Eton won the toss and elected to bat first here. And they'll be kicking off proceedings shortly. But taking the field, led by their captain Rahul Widjaratne, very shortly, will be the Harrow side, coached by Robin Martin Jenkins, a name that may be familiar to many of you, also from his father, but also from his own playing career for Sussex, among others. And their team is as follows, Harrow. It will be George Reid, Hamish Dickets, Captain Rahul Widjaratne, Max Aliff, Alex Ferreira, who is the wicket keeper, Rishi Widjaratne, Johnny Bowie, Rahul Shah, Archie Maxwell, Will Falcon and Harry Maxwell. And they're just taking the field now. Ahead of them are the two umpires for today, Mr. Smith, who I must admit I don't know his first name at the moment, and Steve Goldie. I'll find out Mr. Smith's first name for you a bit later on today. And the Eton side, who will be striding out to the middle. In fact, the two batsmen are already out there. They're that keen. Openers Ben Elias, Billy Lowther, wicketkeeper Tom Prentice, Tom Nodder, Captain Hector Hardman, Ollie Bradley, Tom Liu, Kit Penny, George Pearson, Jamie Gamble and Fred Butler. So that's enough introduction from myself. Good morning to yourself, Tim Beard.
Good morning, Adam. The Eton openers are coming out. They're a classic right-hand, left-hand combination. Ben Elias is a left-hander and Billy Lowther, in the year below him at school, he's in his GCSE year. Billy's a right-hander. Both of them pretty orthodox players, and I'm sure they'll be a bit nervous.
So just to set the scene for you weather-wise, it's quite overcast here at Lords this morning. Stark contrast to temperatures a bit earlier in the week when Middlesex were playing Yorkshire out there, a couple of pitches across from the one that we're on today towards the Tavern and the Mound stands, where temperatures were hitting about 35, 36 degrees, and slightly cooler as well from yesterday's varsity match, which you may have been listening to, which Oxford won by 9 runs, and they were playing on the opposite side of the square towards the grandstand from where we are today. But the players are out there in the middle. They've got a very, very short boundary towards the mound and the tavern stands, which I'm delighted to say the tavern stand boxes are already well occupied by lots of people who have taken those out today, quite a few of them in the mound stand as well. So Ben Elias will take strike, according to the scoreboard, although you've just told me that actually Billy Lowther is right-handed, so I assume it's probably going to be him on strike, because it looks like a right-handed batsman lining up to take strike here. And it'll be a Maxwell of some description. I'm wondering if I can have a bit of assistance in identifying which Maxwell brother it is. Harry Maxwell. Thank you very much, Keith Metcalf, who you'll hear from a bit later on today, who is one of our insiders in the Harrow camp. The scoreboard hasn't got as far as putting an initial next to his name, but it'll be Harry Maxwell to open up from the pavilion end. To Ben Elias, according to the scoreboard still, but I'll take knowledge from you, Tim, if you think it's the opposite.
That's definitely Billy Lowther.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
And I think the thinking behind Eton winning the toss and choosing to bat is to try and get some runs on the board and help get scoreboard pressure to help whatever other pressures there may be on the players today. Mm-hmm. Harrow have started off with a relatively attacking field. They've got a couple of slips, and I think they might be hoping just to hurry Billy up a bit.
So Harry Maxwell will start things off for us. First ball of today's game beats the outside edge, so that's a great start there. First ball in the game at Lords, bowling from the pavilion end, right arm over the wicket. Lovely delivery, just on a decent length outside off, and it beats the forward defensive of the right-hander.
We can see that the batsman has that regulation stride off towards square leg after he's played his shot, especially if he's played and missed his first ball. But he'll be thinking, I've survived, bowl me another one.
And he comes once more from the pavilion end. Up to the crease, very wide outside off this stump, and signalled wide, in fact. So scoreboard is up and running. No runs off the bat, though, but an extra on the board, and Eaton are off and running one without loss, courtesy of that wide from the second delivery. So Harry Maxwell, a right-arm over bowler, who is the younger of two Maxwell brothers in the Harrow side today. Archie, who is a left-armer, I've just been informed. May well see him with the ball later on. In fact, he may even open from this end, so we could have brothers opening the bowling. Here comes Harry Maxwell up to the crease, full toss and driven into the offside there nicely by Lowther. That's going to go for four, so tucked into that one, took full advantage of the loose delivery, drove that one handsomely through the covers, four runs, and it's now five without loss.
Yes, that'll settle Lowther down a little bit. It looks like Maxwell is trying to bowl. The ball's shaping away from the batsman with the field he's got. He's got a third man currently doing some calisthenics down there by the rope. Two slips and then three men in the covers. But Lowther was able to pierce the gap there with a very nice drive.
And he comes now looking for a reply to that one, Harry Maxwell. Down the leg side this time, and that's going to be five wides, I think, potentially. Well, no, four leg byes, in fact. So must have flicked the pad somewhere along the way there, but more runs on the board, which I have to say has completely frozen already inside the first four deliveries, but it's nine without loss. I can go that far for the time being to count the score. Hopefully that will rectify itself shortly.
We'll be asking you in 20 minutes time.
Yes, I'm not sure if my memory recall will stretch quite that far at this time on a Saturday morning.
Possibly full bowling figures too.
Well, there is a scorecard that's on the Lords website if you are in the ground today or listening back at home and can keep across that, which should be handy. Harry Maxwell, in the meantime, up to the crease and bowls, and this time a bit shorter of length and well defended by Lowther there into the leg side. No run as one of those leg side fielders swoops on that ball and prevents there being a run.
Yeah, the bowlers have to get used to the conditions and their famous slope as well as they run in. It would affect their balance and they and their nerves as well. Don't help them always. But he's certainly committed to his approach.
Maxwell with blonde hair, and he comes from the pavilion end. Nice flick off the legs, and that'll be four more if it beats the diving foot. That's good work there by the fielder who's come from sort of long leg to slide in front of the mound stand there. Has he managed to cut that one off? He has. And so much is the good cricket there. They've actually run two from that. So good shot, decent fielding, and good running as well. And that takes the score to 11 without loss.
Yeah, lovely slide. He doesn't have a great deal of choice to chase the ball out there on that short boundary. He has to dive, and he very effective.
So the scoreboard's caught up run-wise, but it's still got the batsman the wrong way round, according to the information we have. Maxwell in and bowls and defended by Lowther on his back foot there, out to point. So that's the first over of the game off and running. Eaton have 11 without loss. Just to remind you, it's a 55-over a-side game today, almost like a old-fashioned one-day fixture, so much so that we have a lunch and tea interval throughout the course of today's play. So lunch is a fixed time of 1 to 1.40, a 10-minute interval between the innings, and then tea will be taken after 25 overs of the side who are batting second.
Yes, the match forms part of a series of matches between schools in the Cowdrey Cup, which involves Eton and Harrow, obviously, but Tunbridge, Radley, Charterhouse and Wellington, and they're 55-over games. And normally they'd start at 11:30 games, and they have particular playing conditions. They're 11 overs per bowler. One of the playing conditions is that Duckworth Lewis, in the event of rain, does apply but can't determine the result.
Okay.
So, which is the situation we actually had last year, where rain caused the match to be abandoned. Duckworth Lewis was showing Harrow well ahead on the Duckworth Lewis, but the playing conditions of that competition are that. Yes. Duckworth Lewis doesn't determine a result, but can
come into play.
Come into play, yeah, and change the target, as in fact we saw the year before, when Eton managed to chase down a revised target.
Yes. Well, hopefully that doesn't come into the equation today. I know the forecast has been quite changeable today for London, but I think the latest one that we've seen is that it's probably going to continue like this, with a lot of cloud cover and temperatures in the low 20s. Will Falcon is going to open the bowling for Harrow from the nursery end, and unfortunately starts with a wide down the leg side to the left-handed Ben Elias. And I'm pleased to tell you that the scoreboard has now got the batsman the correct way around, and shows that Billy Lowther has six to his name, and Elias, that was his first ball that he'd faced yet to get off the mark.
Ben is happy to play in singles, not a necessarily a hugely expansive player, but technically good and has a very strong temperament.
He comes again once more from the pavilion, sorry, from the nursery end, and that's very wide down the leg side this time from Will Falcon. So early signs that playing on this end of the square towards the tavern and the mound stands, that the slope is slightly more pronounced than it is if you play over the opposite end of the square where we had that game between Oxford and Cambridge yesterday. And when you're a bowler, it can take a little bit longer just to adjust your sights and your areas to it. So a test here for Will Falcon earlier on, but in he comes once more, and that's a much better line of length this time. As you can probably hear, straight out of the middle of the bat of Elias, no run.
That's right, the bowlers, I think, they have that little slope, just can fall their head away, a little technical adjustment they need to make to get their balance, and also they're trying very hard and not necessarily as loose as they might be slightly later in the game.
Falcon, right arm over the wicket, down the leg side once more, and another wide. So plenty of struggling early on, and immediately signals to the umpire that he's actually going to come around the wicket to the left-hander as a result of that.
Yes, he's got a slip and a gully in place. There's a man at cover. There's a man at sort of shortish extra cover. He's more saving the single than being an aggressive catcher. There's mid-off, wide mid-on, classic mid-wicket, and a man sort of on the bent fence.
And he comes again and turned off the legs around the wicket that time. And that's Elias off the mark there with a single down to the man on the long leg boundary. That's 15 without a loss.
He's quite square there on that boundary. I think that's partly to try and save the runs of the short boundary on that side, and must partly be trying to move the ball away from the left-hander. That's a better angle for that fielder to be at.
So 15 without loss, Eton. If you just joined us, they won the toss earlier and elected to bat first. And we're in the second over of this 55-over a-side match. Falcon bowling for Harrow from the nursery end, and that's worked off the outside edge, but safely along the ground through the sip cord and out towards the Allen stand, where it goes for four, despite the diving attempts of the fielder out there for Harrow. So another boundary to Billy Lowther. Takes him to double figures already. And Eton move on to 19 without loss.
A very good example of a ball that moves down the slope there. In fact, he probably thought he was playing that out of the middle, and it came off the outside half of his bat between those two fielders, who in fact have just moved slightly closer together now.
Yeah, they have. That slip cordon just changing slightly as Falcon continues and beats the outside edge this time. Good line and length to the right-hander, who, as Tim was suggesting there as well, characteristically shuffles himself off towards square leg there and almost berates himself for playing a bit of a loose shot.
Yes, that was a bit of a loose one for an opener. The shot before, nicely under control, even though off the outside half of the bat. That one, a wider ball and a slightly more aggressive intent, and missed it.
Falcon, a few wides in this over, continues from the nursery. An uppish drive into the offside, but safe through the gap, and he's going to get four because it's a very short boundary out there to the mound stand. So another boundary to Lowther at the end of that second over, which the scoreboard I think is a delivery behind, but I'll forgive him on that occasion because there were a few wides there. But already Eton here after two overs, motoring along at 23 without loss. Lowther has 14, Elias has one.
I think that was a nice shot by Lowther. It was uppish, and then it was a ball which he decided he was still going to go at. He's playing confidently and positively, and doesn't show any signs of going into his shell and being overwrought by the occasion and indeed the opposition. So that's a good confident start from Lowther.
Now, throughout the day, there'll be five of us on the commentary team. I'm completely neutral. I'll put that out there right now. And then we have two from an Eton persuasion and two from a Harrow persuasion. Tim, you're from an Eton persuasion, that's right?
Yes, that's right. I've been teaching at Eton for a few years now. I used to be in charge of the cricket logistics rather mm-hmm. than cricket tactics and technique for a while. And now I've retired from that to the commentary box.
Not a bad way to retire. Maxwell continues from the pavilion end wide down the leg side. Great take from the wicketkeeper Alex Pereira there, who makes sure that that's no run. It must have flicked the pad on the way through because no wide was signalled. I was here earlier on today and I watched Alex Pereira going through some very energetic warm-ups out there in the middle. He was diving left, right and centre, very akin to how he just executed that one there. Yes. So clearly acrobatic behind the stumps for Harrow.
Great take, full-length dive.
And Harry Maxwell starts again around the wicket to the left-hander, beats the outside edge, lovely delivery there. That looked like it just moved away slightly from the left-handed Elias, squaring him up, no run.
Yes, each time the batsman misses the ball, the batsman wanders off towards square leg, the slips and the wicketkeeper wander up to the stumps, and no doubt there's a battle between volume and exclusion of volume happening out on the field, as they also commentate on the play that's just come past.
Helicopter hovers overhead here at Lords. You can probably hear as Maxwell continues, left alone this time by Elias, outside off stump, still 23 without loss. Spectators are starting to funnel their way in. We've got the tavern and the mound stand and also the Edridge stands open today, as well as the Allen stand and the pavilion, of course. Not many boys in yet, but I imagine they'll be trickling through in the coming overs, won't they?
Yes, I think they, as schoolboys, they have exams to do this morning.
Oh, do they?
At Harrow and at Eton. And generally, the Harrow boys arrive first and then the Eton boys just afterwards.
Maxwell continues for Harrow. Down the leg side, that will be wide this time. That was well down the leg side from the left-hander. And another good take, though, from Ferreira behind the stumps. 24 without loss. And yes, I've done this game in previous years, and I must admit at around about sort of mid-afternoon, it can get a little bit vociferous. And I do believe they segregate the two.
They are segregated.
To a degree.
Some people might suggest that increases the volume of the crowd.
Maxwell up to the stumps, continues for Harrow. Nice delivery there, beats the outside edge of Elias, who tries to drive that one into the offside, but misses out on that occasion.
He's a lively pace, the younger Maxwell. He comes in, he attacks the crease, and he seems to be getting some nice shape onto the ball, just away from Elias's outside edge two occasions so far in this over.
Yeah, been a slightly better over this one. There has been a wide in it, but noticeable coming around the wicket to the left-hander. He has a slight bit of more control. Maxwell again as a half appeal for leg before as it balloons back towards him into the leg side, but no interest shown at all there from the umpire. So a dot ball as the sun tries to break through the cloud here.
Yeah, the sun comes out. The ground looks wonderful in the great stripes that go across the outfield, the used and unused squares. It really does do justice to itself, its name of the home of cricket.
So a little bit of pause in play, or the batsman asks for the sight screen in front of the pavilion to be moved. The pitch that we're playing on today is towards the mound and tavern stands, as I was saying, so it's right in line with the home dressing room balcony, which Eton are occupying today for this game. Harry Maxwell continues, and there's another appeal for leg before, but it comes off the pads as that one was arrowing in at the toes of the left-hander. They come through for a leg bye at the end of that over, which means that Elias will keep the strike. And Eton, after three overs, going along very nicely here, are 25 without loss.
It was a bit of a phony war, the first few overs. You can get off to a fly, you might lose a wicket, and the game then tends to settle down into its longer rhythms and patterns. So far, the loss of a wicket now, for instance, would still put Harrow ahead of the game at this stage.
25 out loss, three overs bowled. MCC's ball by ball commentary service here today at Lords. If you're joining us listening in on the World Wide Web, or if you've got a headset in the ground today and are sat watching from the stands, welcome along. It's Harrow bowling to Eaton, and Falcon continues, and that's flicked off the legs by Elias, but straight to the man at mid-wicket. There is no run there. Will Falcon opening from this nursery end, and Harry Maxwell opening from the pavilion end, the younger of two Maxwell brothers in the Harrow side today, Archie being the older brother. There's also another set of brothers in the Harrow side, the Widgeratneys, Captain Rahul, and his younger brother Rishi. Is another delivery from Falcon there, is just driven out to the covers, no run, as covered as the fielding.
He looks to be a bowler who's looking for a bit more control, perhaps Falcon from this end, moving the ball away from, I'd say, from the left-hander as well as the right-hander, and Maxwell Moore, your out-and-out attack strike bowler at the beginning of the innings.
And he has a field of two slips, a point, extra cover, I suppose you could say, mid-off, mid-on, mid-wicket, and a man sort of deep at longish leg, but very wide, as another delivery is short of a length this time from Falcon and nudged down to the offside by Elias, no run. And he's also got a third man who's a long, long way away from the action, it seems, towards that corner of the ground, towards the pavilion and the Warner stand, where the rope is being brought in some distance from the grandstand side of the ground.
Yes, I don't know what you would call the shape that the rope describes, far more than a dodecahedron anyway.
Here comes Falcon again from the nursery end, flicked and turned into the leg side by Elias. He'll get one, and has a little bit of a stumble as he tries to turn between the two runs, but recovers in time there after taking a bit of a tumble and falling on the deck, and comes back for a second there to take him to three, and Eaton on to 27 without a loss.
He just slipped on the green edge of the wicket on the outside of the one that they're playing on there.
Yeah. Well, actually, the pitch itself that we're playing on today is very, very green in nature, it has to be said. As Falcon continues around the wicket with his right armers, and that's left alone outside off by Elias, no run. Pitch 18, I believe it is, technically, on the square. We were on pitch 3 yesterday as we look at it going from right to left. So that's 3 from the edge of the very end of the square towards the tavern and the mound stands. We normally play this fixture on this end of the square, it has to be said. Sometimes we've been all the way right on the edge of it. As Falcon continues, last ball of this over, nice foolish length delivery, not timed by Elias though, as he just pushes it out to cover. There's a dot ball to finish that over, which were two runs off it after four overs, Eaton 27 without loss.
Yeah, just beginning to settle down now, and we'll see how we're about to have a few more overs from each of these opening bowlers, and then the Harrow change bowlers. They might introduce spin early just to see if they can really put the squeeze on the Eaton batsman. Opening batsmen have a reputation, I guess, throughout cricket for being less good players of spin, as they're more used to the ball with pace on it.
And interestingly, with that spin, which we may see a bit later on in the day, is which end you bowl your spinners from, with a short boundary out towards one side. I would suggest today, if you're bowling to a right-handed batsman, you probably want to be on at this nursery end. If someone wants to hit towards the leg side, it's a significantly longer boundary. Maxwell continues though, nice pace he shows from the pavilion in, and well driven and half stopped by the man at point there, but they'll get at least one here. They won't get any more though, as the fielder runs in from third man to cut that one off. Good bit of cricket there with a half stop at point, and the running between the wickets, 28 without loss now.
Yeah, characteristic of Harrow over the years is their excellent outfielding, athletic boys, plenty of practice and happy to throw themselves around.
So Ben Elias on 3, left-hander back on strike, and Billy Lowther at the other end, who has scored 15 off 11 balls already, so that's an indication of how quickly he's got going in this game. Harry Maxwell continues and opens the face safely along the ground past a second slip, is Elias, and will come back for 2 there as it's picked up in the third man region. 30 without loss already, Eaton have moved on to here, we're only in the 5th over of a 55 over a side game.
The 55 over, the extra 5 overs do make a substantial difference to the game. If the lower order batsmen get a chance to bat for longer, and the one extra over for the bowlers does really extend there.
Harry Maxwell around the wicket continues and squares him up and caught. Well, in fact, he's bowled him actually. For a moment there, I thought he caught him, but it hit the very top of middle and off stump. Lovely delivery, which squared up the left-hander. And that is the first wicket of the day down. Harrow have taken it at 30-1, and it's Elias on his way, bowled by Harry Maxwell for 5.
Yeah, I'd say he brought that ball up the slope. In fact, hit him on the top of off stump, almost exactly where he would have been aiming it. A lovely delivery, and certainly they're too good for Ben Elias.
It was such a lovely delivery that for a moment there it caught me out because I thought it was an edge to first slip. It ricocheted off the top of the stumps, probably hit the very peak of the bales actually, and went through to first slip there, who actually took a very sharp catch, it has to be said, which fooled me for a second. But that is the first wicket of the day down. Ben Elias falls, bowled by Harry Maxwell for 5. He's on his way. That's a welcome breakthrough for Harrow after some early runs were scored there by Eaton, taking advantage of some loose deliveries and also a few extras, getting themselves off to a decent start. But now, number 3 in the order, wicketkeeper Tom Prentice will be making his way out to the middle. And Tim, what can you tell me about Tom?
Tom is a batsman. He's been in good form this season. He's scored runs in various different conditions and on various different pitches. He's not a flamboyant player. He's an accumulator of runs, and he will be he'll be looking to bat long now as part of his role in the team would be to go through till at least perhaps. Well, I don't know how far ahead he'll be thinking, but
yeah,
he might be thinking the end of this first over, then the end of the next over. And he's gone past 500 runs for the season, and is averaging 50. So he's at the top of the Eton averages, as you would you'd expect for their number 3. And he's coming in. He's just taking his time to have a look around now and perhaps familiarise himself with surroundings. He didn't play last year. Would have been very close to the team last year, so this is his debut.
Mm-hmm.
Here at Lord's. He'll take guard. He'll have a look around the field. They haven't changed the field. They haven't brought in. There's just still the 2 slips, and the 3 men in the covers and a third man.
So 2 right-handers at the crease now. Prentice, a right-hander, joining Lowther, the other right-hander. And as Tim was saying there, he's got Harry Maxwell to face for his first ball here at Lord's, with the sun peeking out once again between the clouds. In comes Maxwell, and he beats his outside edge, this time of a Yorker length delivery, which he tries to jar the bat down on, but doesn't get anything on it, and it goes straight through to the keeper with some oohs and ahs. Some of them can't count there in the field because they think that was over bowl, but there's still 2 left on the scoreboard.
Yeah, the ball went, I think, might be slightly beaten for pace on his first ball there. Well, that would have woken him up, and he'll perhaps be looking to get bat on ball on this one.
There'll be a change in my chair at the end of this over. Keith Metcalf will come on and replace me, but in the meantime, Harry Maxwell continues from the pavilion end, short of a length, and well pushed out to the offside. Good quick running there by the batsman. Good cricket all round there from both sides, and Prentice is off the mark with a single out into the covers, 31-1.
That was a very nicely taken single. Slight angle on it between the 2 fielders. Early call, and they ran hard. We didn't see the what seems to be ever-present shy at the stumps that you often see on the television. The Harrow boys wisely held on to the ball.
Harry Maxwell taking a wicket in this over. Can he finish it off with a decent delivery? No, not really. It's a full toss, which is slashed away somewhat by Lowther down to third man. He might have missed out a little bit on that, but he gets a single to keep strike at the end of that wicket taking over. So we've had 5 overs of this game, and Eaton, who won the toss earlier and elected to bat, made 32-1. A few more words from yourself, Tim, and I shall make way for Keith Metcalf to take over in the commentary chair.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. As the sun comes through, we're carrying on with Will Fulton bowling. I think he's going to be trying to exert some control now as the wicket has fallen, try and put some pressure on this new batsman as he's come in, and perhaps let Lowther. It doesn't look like they're going to offer Lowther an easy single yet, but they're going to try and, I would say, put the squeeze on, Keith.
Yes, good morning. And in Will comes, right arm outside off stump, and that's just gone down the slope, but to move slightly down the slope as well in the air, and that's a wide ball.
He's trying to swing the ball, and I think he's having some success. And going down the slope, he's doing his best to bring those 2 slips into play. And I guess the danger is that you can bowl a bit wider. They have the wide line is probably a foot in from the edges of the crease.
So Falcon regains his mark and he's in, with right arm over. And that's a better one, just outside off stump. Batsman leaves it, goes through to the wicketkeeper, and there's no run.
That's more the sort of line he'll be looking at, just to test the patience of the batsman, just to perhaps tempt him into a rash shot towards that short boundary.
Apparently it's Will's standard line is that sort of in-to-out ball, so he needs to be really sort of focusing it in on the middle stump and then it just moving it away slightly to draw the batsman to a shot. In he comes, his right arm over, it's very full, that's flicked away onto the leg side. They're going to run two fairly easily. Nice shot.
They get two. I think the wicketkeeper, he may be thinking of perhaps coming up to the stumps and perhaps anchoring the batsman in a little bit. It looks like it's within his capacities. Ferreira, as a wicketkeeper, he looks very sharp.
Yeah, he's in his second year of playing at Lords, Ferreira. He played last year as a fifth former, year 11. And he's back again in the lower sixth. Here's Falcon in again. That's very full. It's a full toss, but played straight back down the ground to mid-off. There's no run. That's a shame. It should have, could have got some more something on that. Was it just a bit quick?
Yeah, he could have perhaps hit the gap there with the full toss. It perhaps also might have surprised him a little bit. Mm. Perhaps it was a slower delivery.
Certainly looking a little bit frustrated after not getting a run on that one. And Falcon's in again. It's a bit shorter that time. Just played down to the ground on the onside. The fielder comes in, does a dramatic roll.
Yes, he does a lovely tumble across the old wicket ends there, and no doubt now has some much-prized Lord's dust on his trousers.
Oh, yes, his matron will be delighted about the cleanings you have to do with these whites tonight. So Falcon regains his mark, and nursery end, any bottle comes. Another shortish one, but play down into the ground, but into the offside this time for a quick single. One of the Widgeratneys. It looks like Rishi feels that, throws into the wicketkeeper, but the batsmen have already regained their ground, and there's a single.
So Prentice, for the first time from this, he's at the pavilion end facing, and he looks like he's going to go and have a chat to Lowther, and no doubt we'll be asking him the question, what does he do with the ball?
That's right, so Prentice is on one, Lowther's on 19, the total's 36 for one, and they've had 5.5 overs, so it's just the last ball of this over. What's Prentice like? Is he the sort of person who likes to keep the strike?
He's an accumulator.
In's Falcon. That's another short one just outside off stump. And there's no run. Just left that alone.
Yes, he would be. He'd be very keen on taking singles at all times, but probably likes the most off the fifth or sixth ball of the over.
Yeah, so he's not had much of the sighting yet. He's only had three balls so far. Lowther's had 17 and scored 19 off them. So Lowther's going along quite nicely.
Yes, he's playing very well. He managed to put away a couple of early loose deliveries, which should have settled him down a little bit. And now he'll be looking to maintain a scoring rate perhaps around about 80 out of every 100 balls. He'd be delighted if he can bat 100 balls.
Okay. Well, Harrow have regained a little bit of control now. After six overs, it's 36 for one. After two overs, it was 25 for naught. So they've got the run rate down a little bit. Maxwell is still on to bowl from the pavilion end, and he fires one in outside off stump straight through to the keeper. The batsman just leaves that alone.
It's a lively pace he's keeping up, Maxwell. He's charging in, and when he gets the ball in the right areas, he looks a very threatening bowler.
But Lowther's looking very calm there. That one just looked like a good one to leave, and he just shouldered arms, nothing coming in.
I'm sure it's in his thoughts to leave the ball
if he can
early in his innings.
Yeah. So Maxwell gives the ball a quick shine. Wind behind him from the western end. Right arm over. That's pitched short, but into the body. Lowther just plays that off his gloves or something into the ground. Fielders all sort of ooh and ah.
Yes, he played a bit early at it as he was trying to turn it into the leg side. I'm sure that extra cover saw a leading edge. Perhaps the man at second slip had a view of the ball close to the glove. And then one or two extra oohs and ahs just to emphasise the point.
Yeah. The pitch is looking quite green. The wicket's green. Is that going to have much of an impact, do you think, on the balls like that, which are a bit short? Do they just sit up a little bit more, or do they skid through? What do you
I don't know. We'll have to see over the course of the match.
Yeah. In comes Maxwell. Right arm over. That's wide outside off stump. Yeah, and the umpire's given that a wide as well. No problem for the wicketkeeper, but the batsman was very happy to leave that one.
I think I might be right in saying that there was once an infamous Lord's Ridge, wasn't there, which has now been flattened out of the square. which certainly would have come into play. But that I think with the pitches being dry after the run of hot weather we've had, perhaps the ball might just sit a little bit to go through the top.
Yeah. The weather here is slightly overcast, a few grey clouds around, but no rain at the moment, and the wind blowing from the west as Maxwell comes in. Pitches another one slightly short, right down the middle, and Lowther just turns that into the onside to the fielder, and there's no run there, and the ball works its way back through the offside towards the bowler.
This is what a friend of mine, Anthony McGowan, calls the passaggiato of the cricket ball, where it arrives at the fielder, goes back to the wicketkeeper, first slip, second slip, perhaps all the way around the covers, gets a polish on the way, and is then lovingly returned to the bowler.
That's right, with a bit of a shine on it. In comes Maxwell, right arm over. That one's just played off the edge into point. Just slightly squared him up, just mistimed that slightly.
I think that fuller length is causing the batsman, asking more questions of the batsman. At that fuller length, they have to play a shot. They have to decide whether it would be an attacking shot or whether they're just going to try and punch the ball into a gap. And that's the sort of length that is asking the more difficult questions.
Could have been drivable if he got his left foot out there.
Yes, perhaps. Yeah.
Just getting used to the speed of the ball coming through, but certainly very full. Maxwell in again, and another one very similar. Plays that nicely, front foot, driven neatly through the covers for a single, looking for a two, sent back.
Looking for a two, sent back.
The ball. Prentice wants the strike. Probably a good decision, though.
Yes, I don't think there was the two there. It was one of those sliding situations where the fielder does have the ball in his hands and can get up and release it quickly.
A very quick running by Lowther, though.
Yes.
He was definitely the one. He played the shot, caught the single, and wanted to come back again. So Prentice facing probably only his second ball from Maxwell. And leaves that outside the off stump, goes straight through to the wicketkeeper, no run. End of the over. 38 for one off seven overs. Lowther's on 20 off 22. Prentice on one. Going to have a change in the commentary box as well. We have Simon Halliday joining us in a moment as the fielders all have a bit of a conversation about plans, quick discussion with the bowler. It's Falcon to continue. And welcome to Simon Halliday.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Lovely place to be on a Saturday, and ground's looking beautiful. The wicket, as Keith has said, is pretty green, and I think it's also been used a few times. You can see the bare ends, so I think that would have been a factor in decision for Eaton to bat.
So it's Falcon bowling at Lowther, and it's off the outside edge, but play down behind point, down to backward point, is that? Or point on the boundary anyway, and they run through for a single.
Yes, Harrow have been operating all morning so far with a standard 6-3 offside field, so both bowlers are trying to shape the ball down the away from the batsman towards their offside fielders, and so far they started off a little bit loose. As we've been told, they've got a little bit tighter recently.
So Falcon in bowling from the nursery end. Prentice just drops that down into the offside, fielded by Rishi Wijeratne. No run.
Yeah, I think Eaton would have seen the very bare wicket having been used before and probably thought that as the day goes on, the ball might get lower and slower and more difficult to bat on a used wicket. That's often the case. With a fresh wicket, they might have bowled.
So in comes Falcon from the nursery end. That was a nice delivery outside the off stump. Just left alone by Prentice, goes through to the wicketkeeper for no run. Now, we've talked a little bit about batting first. Apparently, Eaton this term have had a lot of success batting first. In fact, won all their games batting first, just about. Mm. And not won batting second. They won the toss, put themselves into bat. But we've mixed success over the years at Lord's as Falcon comes into bowl. And that's pitched well up, just outside, on leg side, flicked off his legs. Is that a leg by? Did he get a bit of bat in it? No, it's a leg by. So the batsman run through for a single, but it's a leg by rather than a run.
Yes, I think the feeling...
You've had a bit of experience. You were the master in charge of cricket for Harrow for years with this game.
Yeah, I think the feeling used to be that it was good to bat first. I think things have changed a little bit over the last 10 years or so.
So, Falcon into bowl. Bit shorter outside the off stump and left alone by Lowther. No run.
Yes, I think the feeling was to put a score on the board and scoreboard pressure would create mistakes for the team batting second. I think boys are much more prepared to chase nowadays. And I think the Lords results actually over the last 10 or 15 years have seen quite a few successful chasers.
So in comes Falcon bowling. Oh, and that was straight at the batsman who came down and played it up a bit uppish towards Falcon. And it looked like he might have had a chance to catch that. Got one hand down low, but the ball scraped through his fingers. Was that, did you think?
Maybe a half a chance. Half a chance there, yep. Possibly very, very difficult.
Very difficult.
Hit back pretty hard.
For a right-arm bowler, so if you're getting down low to his left-hand side, the batsman was sort of came down the wicket to it as well and played it fairly sharply. Falcon can be disappointed by that. That would have been a very useful wicket for Harrow at this stage. But Eaton, delighted that they live on.
Yes, indeed. And Lowther's played really well. He started quickly and now he's settling down, hopefully for a long innings for him. Prentice is feeling his way into the game. Harry Maxwell's still on.
Okay, as we start the eighth over, it's 40-1. In comes Harry Maxwell. Right arm over, played down the onside into mid-on. As the batsman sort of starts to run, quickly realises that there's nothing there.
Yeah, Harry Maxwell has come to the team this year and bowls reasonable pace, pretty sharp, and swings the ball away. Bowls fairly straight. He struggled with his radar when there was a left-right combination early on, but now there's two right-handers, he's much happier.
Yeah, worked his way into the team over the term. In he comes from the pavilion end, pitched up straight, and the batsman just plays that into the ground, into the offside. No run, quickly fielded by Widjiratne. Is that right? He's worked his way in. He's been playing a bit of time for the seconds.
He has been in the seconds a little bit and successful. And he's highly rated now by the coaches. So it wasn't a close selection with him. He was automatic by the end of the season, really.
In he comes from the pavilion end. And just slightly down the leg side. Oh, you hear by my noise there, that nearly came off the batsman's pads onto the stumps. Not quite sure how that got there because it was looking like it was going down the leg side.
Yes, I think it was. I think the batsman probably missed out there on an easy one or two down to fine leg. But sometimes that can happen. You see in top cricket the ball hits the pad and sometimes actually on the thigh pad it can roll backwards onto the stumps.
Yeah, well that would just ran just past the leg side of the stumps and Prentice gets away with that one. So Maxwell is back in again. And this one's more conventional, just outside the off stump, played into the ground to point, and then back into the wicketkeeper, no run.
Yep, still a 6-3 field, so it's very conventional, trying to bowl outside off one side of the wicket. Two slips are still in place for Maxwell, only one slip for Falcon, I noticed, the last over. But Maxwell is still clearly swinging it, and he's still got two slips in there.
He's got a fair bit of breeze behind him as well, although actually I say that just now as the flag goes a bit limp, but there has been a fair breeze this morning. So in comes Maxwell, and it's outside off stump, a bit of a big stride and a slash forward drive. Outside off stump missed by Prentice and nothing happens there. Wicketkeeper's shaking his hands, that looks like it might have hurt him a little bit.
I've noticed that keeper and first slip have been walking up to the batsman after deliveries. From a purist point of view, I would hope that they're not talking to the batsman too much, but I suspect they might be saying one or two things, which is a little bit sad.
Yeah, hopefully not. So 40-1, last ball of the over. In comes Maxwell. It's very full into the block hole, but it's played out very nicely by Prentice back to the bowler, who fends it off straight back to the slips. There's no run. So 40-1, Lowther on 21 and Prentice on one. So Harrow have tightened up a little bit after a sort of fairly wayward first couple of overs, but they're tightened up. But also, so they're going to be happier, but I don't think Eaton are going to be happy with 40-1 at this stage.
I think Eaton are very happy, I would say. I think Harrow certainly struggled with the left-right combination early on. And when you think that Maxwell's first over went for 10 or so, and he's now bowled 5 for 15, his second four overs have gone for about 5. So I think the left-right combination was a key factor, and both bowlers went round the wicket to try and counter the problem. But now that they're much happier with the two right-handers.
Okay, so we've still got slightly overcast conditions. Falcon is about to start his fifth over from the nursery end, working his way up to the wicket, and let's play down with the offside behind stumps back to third man for a quick single by Lowther. So the batsman change ends.
Yes, and as you've heard before this morning, that short boundary on the Tavern side is really important in this game, and the fielder's third man is very square because of that short boundary, and he's a really busy man on in this match usually.
Yep, they've got a lot of fielders on the offside, Harrow, to protect that short boundary. Falcon in again, it's very full outside the off stump, and he's out. He's got an edge, he swung at that one, didn't take that big a stride, but just let his bat go.
Well pitched up, and that's just what you've got to do, down the slope, and he's gone for a big drive, and clearly I think that was the slope, maybe a little bit of swing. We're not quite in line here, so it's quite difficult to see the swing. I presume a little bit of swing, but also the slope would have played a role, I would have thought, and a fairly regulation catch to Ferreira.
And for Prentice, tempted into it, he's only been on one. That was outside off stump. It was a free hit to some extent onto the short boundary. Too tempting?
Well, possibly. I mean, we've heard that he likes to play a long innings and build it. Maybe a little bit of frustration that he hadn't got away a little bit. But it was well pitched up and it was there for the drive. It just could have been the slope that moved the ball a bit further away and got the edge.
Yep, so Harry pleased with that. So 41 for two. That was caught for error. Went through to the wicketkeeper. Bowled Falcon. So Prentice out for one. And in comes Nodder. Now, a bit of a history with Nodder. His brother played a few years ago, I remember. Had a good innings in 2014, I think it was.
He certainly did. He scored 70-something in 2014, and he played for Cambridge yesterday, I believe, against Oxford, and scored a few. For Oxford, sorry. I've just been corrected. Played for Oxford yesterday against Cambridge, and what did he score yesterday? 76. So he's had two innings at Lords that we know of and scored 70-something both times.
Well, younger brother Tom, this is now, having his chance at Lords. He played last year as well, and just going to ask for some statistics on how he did last year.
Still only one slip for the new batsman, which is...
He scored 19 last year. He's a right-hander, just taking his mark. Yes, one slip. Yes, yeah, that's interesting.
I would have thought Harrow would want to get another slip in there for the new man. I'm quite surprised. It's still a packed... Yes, they are now moving somebody back in from the offside. Yeah, that's Reed, George Reed, going back into second slip for the new man. I think that's a good move. So Falcon coming in again.
Okay, so third ball of the over. Nodder to face Falcon. Falcon bowling for the nursery end. That's a well pitched up ball and just fairly calmly played there by Nodder into the ground. No runs.
I think both teams are very happy now. I think Harrow haven't taken a second wicket, are they happier? But at 41 for one, I think Eton were very happy with the start. When you bat first on a green wicket early in the morning, nerves, you just want to get away to a start.
Okay, so it's Falcon in from the nursery end, pitched up, and that swung and a miss. That looked like it must have been quite close.
Yeah, as we saw with Rabada in the recent South Africa game here, pitched the ball up at Lords, bowling from the nursery end, and the movement down the slope always causes problems, but you've got to pitch the ball up, and at the moment Falcon is trying to pitch it up and get them to drive, and
that's the perfect sort of line of length, isn't it? Drew him into the shot. That's only his second ball he's facing, and he's trying to smash that away through the offside.
Yep.
In comes Falcon again, another one very similar again, nicely bowled, a bit straighter actually, and Nodder just plays that into the ground straight, fielded by mid on running in behind the wickets, gives the ball a big shine.
Yep. Harrow have had a pretty good second half of the season. First half of the season they lost a few matches, and their form recently has been pretty good.
So Falcon in, he's got two slips. That's pitched right up, right into the block hole, dug out of the ground by Nodder. Again, fairly calm, looking, getting bat on ball straight away. But he's had to. Those four good balls there.
He's settled into a nice line now, Falcon. And 10 overs now gone. 41 is fine as for a start for Eton, but they just lost those two wickets now, which has just swung the game a little bit back towards Harrow. So the next hour is going to be fascinating, just to see who takes control of this game.
Yeah, so Lowther is going to face this one. He's at the moment the highest scorer on 22 off 25 balls, so he's kept scoring when he's been on strike. He's kept the scoreboard ticking over, but at the moment must be feeling a little bit of weight on his shoulders.
Yes, I think it's great getting off to a good start like that. You can sort of relax a little bit. You don't need to keep pushing it too hard and settle in for a big inning. Someone's going to have to play a big innings.
So Maxwell it is from the pavilion end. Fires one in. Looking pretty quick. Very straight. And that's just played into the onside as Lowther takes a sort of a couple of strides through that ball as he plays it on the move.
He looks a good player, though. I mean, very composed. Playing pretty straight, and so far I was impressed early on by how he took advantage of every loose ball that was bowled early on and put it away for runs, and it's not always easy to do that.
As the sun shines for a moment between the clouds, Maxwell bowls again, very full just outside off stump, and played very delicately down to third man, opened the bat out, laid it on the ground and laid the ball down for a quick single. Very nicely played.
Yes, very good.
Exactly what you were saying, slightly looser ball. Gets his single.
He looks like he has a range of attacking shots, and he's not afraid to use them. And certainly early on, there were a few opportunities which he took, and Eaton got away to that lightning start. And the game settled down to a more normal tempo now.
The wind has picked back up again a little bit. We've got the Cambridge flag flying above the home dressing room. Perfectly.
Eton flag.
Sorry?
Eton flag.
The Eton flag. What did I say? Sorry, the Cambridge flag. Thinking about yesterday. That's a good ball by Maxwell. It goes straight through the batsman. No edge on it. Goes straight through to the wicketkeeper. There's no run. So the Eton flag, which looks very similar to the Cambridge flag. Eton took Cambridge colours.
The other way around. Cambridge took Eton.
Oh, Cambridge took Eton colours. Sorry. That is flying over the home dressing room where the Eton players are this year, and the Harrow flag fluttering above the away dressing room where the Harrow in their dark blue jackets are sitting. Maxwell into bowl outside off stump. It's a bit shorter and a little bit wide, and Nodder has a bit of a flash at that one.
It's worth mentioning at this stage as well that Eton are in the home dressing room, which is we're on the edge of the square, so that is actually over the bowler's arm, so they have a great view down the wicket and see what the bowler's doing. It's a big advantage. And I think the teams alternate every year. So one year Eton, next year Harrow, and Harrow obviously don't have that advantage this year. And I think over the years, we did work it out once, that in fact the team with the home dressing room seems to win more often than not.
We should get our head of statistics onto that one. And in Max, that's wide outside the off stump, and that's given us a wide as well. Then Nodder doesn't have to play that one.
There was a remarkable run of matches recently, about seven or eight, in which that exactly happened. And that was certainly... probably we're talking about 2009 to 2014. It was almost hit for tat, and it was the home dressing room that kept winning every year. And there could be a little bit in that, or it could be coincidence, but certainly it's a great advantage to see what the bowlers are doing before you bat.
Yeah, so we're on 43 for two. Lowther, who's facing, is on 23. No, it's not a facing, sorry. Maxwell bowling. The scoreboard's slightly wrong on who's facing, and that's just played. Slightly squared him up, and the ball squirted out into the offside for no run. Nodder yet to score.
Yes, and Harrow got two slips in. Nodder's trying to locate the ball at the moment, and he's vulnerable. Maybe even a chance to get another close catcher in at this stage, but certainly there are two there waiting for the Maxwell away swing to take effect again.
He's looking like he wants to get on with it, Nodder.
Yep.
He's keen to score some runs. In comes Maxwell, charging in. Slightly shorter, and just nibbled that down into the onside. Wicketkeeper makes ground quickly, but Nodder is through for a single.
Yes, interesting information about Tom Nodder that some of the Eton teachers here are providing is that he's potentially the most destructive player in the Eton side. He has a strike rate of over 100, and when set, he can really be commanding and dominate the bowling. But he can fall early, but once he's got a start, he has to be got out, because runs will come quickly if Nodder hangs around. So that's very interesting.
So, well, he's off the mark, which he'll be pleased about. The score moves on to 44 for two. Nodder is going to be facing. He's retained the strike.
Yeah, I don't... Just looking like the might be a bowling. No, there's no bowling change. I think it's still Will Falcon about to come in from the nursery end.
We've got one of the fielders is doing a lot of warming up.
Yes.
Who's that?
Can't see in this distance.
It looks like it must be Archie Maxwell.
It's Archie Maxwell. In fact, it is Archie Maxwell. Yes, like see that now. He's going through his full repertoire of warm-ups.
So Falcon from the nursery end, right arm over, charges in and lays one down outside the off stump. It's played off a carefully played outside edge down to third man for a single from Nodder. He moves on to two.
Down to that very busy man, squarish third man, who's going to be employed all day, I would have thought, to the seamers. And he's, you know, he's not a normal third man position, but that short boundary in the slope takes the ball down into that corner, the tavern corner, so much.
None of the fielders wearing jumpers. It's a fairly warm day today without being too hot. Falcon is in, bowls. It's pitched up and nicely played forward drive into the covers, fielded by Rishi Widjaratne.
Packed offside field now because of Lowther's on strike and only one slip, and really packed offside field. It'd be hard to get it through there. Harrow is still maintaining 6-3 field, so the bowlers are doing well to bowl to this field.
So in comes Falcon again. It's pitched up just on middle and played down into the ground by Lowther. That ball before, I was just thinking it was almost a perfect ball. Lovely ball, pitched up, straightish. Batsman played a lovely drive into the offside, but fielded very nicely and neatly.
Yes.
Good cricket.
Yes, making the batsman play, of course.
So Falcon's in. Just outside off something. That's upish into the offside, but it doesn't get to the fielder. One bounce and into the fielder's hands. Just mistimed.
Yes, Lowther can be a little bit on the walk sometimes when he plays forward, a little bit on the walk, and rather than right forward or right back, he tends to walk into the shot occasionally. Maybe, I don't know whether the wicket's a little bit too paced. It's hard to see from here, but it's certainly very, very used.
Certainly got through his shot a little bit quickly there, and the ball came off the bat into the air. Falcon's in, outside off stump, shortish, slightly widish, but the umpire's not given it, and there's no run.
Yeah, and Ferreira picked that up by his ankle, so I don't think there's much bounce in this wicket. I think it's pretty low. Used wicket usually is pretty low, and this could get really low during the day and be quite difficult to bat later on.
Falcon doesn't look like he's really charging in at the moment. Is he... He's coming six overs, end of his six overs, coming to the time for a break.
I would have thought so.
In comes Falcon again. That's really nicely pitched up. And Lowther plays that straight into offside, mid-off, and there's no run. At the end of the over, it's 45 for two. I'm going to hand over now to Andy Miles. And Simon will tell you a little bit about the fielding.
Yeah, I think Harrow really settled down well now. I think Falcon and Harry Maxwell are now pursuing that pitched up off stump line and have got a little bit of control back in the game, having 23 off the first two overs and off the next
10
or so.
Another 25 runs.
So it's, yeah, a bit of control rested back, a new batsman in, Lowther's gone a little bit quiet, and at the moment they're bowling to their field. And now we've got a bowling change. Archie Maxwell is coming on. He'll be left arm over, replacing his brother Harry from the pavilion end. And he will aim to swing the ball into the right-hander. And so I expect there'll be a bit of a fielding change to maybe four on the leg side. We'll just see what goes on here.
Well, we haven't had a boundary for 10 overs, something like that. And we had a flurry of fours at the very beginning. But the last 10 overs, really, it's been control from Harrow and a couple of wickets down for Eton. So I think it's moving slowly. These two batsmen need to settle and then see what happens.
Surprisingly, Archie Maxwell's bowling to a 6-3 field. He just swung it into the right-hander. So
left arm over the wicket.
Yeah, left arm over, swinging it in. And I'm quite surprised he hasn't got 5-4, but yeah. Let's see what happens.
So in he comes, bowls. That one is out. There's edged, caught first slip.
Did it carry, though?
Did it carry? I think the batsman's walking.
He is.
He's off. That's a big blow. First ball. Nodder's gone for two. And he has to retreat to the pavilion. And actually, the Eton scoreboard is looking worse and worse at the moment. Three of their top order out for five or less. It's only Lowther who's on 23 not out. So far, Elias out for five, Prentice out for one, and Nodder out for two. So, actually, Harrow are in the driving seat now. They've got three of their best batsmen out, and there's a lot of pressure riding on the rest of the Eton order.
Yeah, once again, ball well pitched up, outside off stump, inducing the drive, but this time up the slope, ball going up the slope from Archie Maxwell. You'd expect the ball to come down the slope towards the stumps.
Change of angle, perhaps, when you've got left arm over.
Yep.
He's already got an angle coming across.
He's got a natural angle, hasn't he? Yeah, you're right, coming across the stumps. But edged, well pitched up on the drive, edged straight to first. He didn't have to move muscle. It was. It was a regulation catch, straight to him. There was just a moment there where everyone hesitated as if they were worried of whether it had actually carried. But I think the umpire confirmed that it carried.
Yeah, definitely. So, we should be seeing Hector Hardman coming to the wicket now. And he is the Eton captain. And he's also probably the best batsman in the team. Well, he's scored about 450 runs this season and has recently been in good form. He's got lots of starts over the course of the season. Converted one recently against Wellington, scored 140. Coming in at 45 for three won't have been part of the plan when he won the toss and elected to bat first. But he's going to have to take the situation by the scruff of the neck. If Eton lose another wicket now, then we could be in for a very different day. So right-handed again, so still two right-handers. He's going to take guard. And
yeah, partnership's required now. At some stage, Eton have to build a partnership, and Lowther's still there, so Hardman needs to get in with him.
Right, in he comes, faces the first ball, and that's a ball on the stumps, and it's played very correctly, high left elbow out into the onside. So, A. Maxwell, what's his first name?
Archie.
Archie. Taking a wicket with his first ball at Lord's.
So yes, played last year.
Did play last year,
and bowled very nicely last year, reasonably tightly. Can't remember his exact figures. Probably find them in a minute.
And that's left alone by Hardman outside the off stump. Goes through to the wicketkeeper, and there's no run.
Yes, last year Archie bowled 7.4 overs and only went for 18. Didn't take a wicket, but an economy rate of 2.35, so really he's known for bowling pretty tightly.
Half starts his run up and then something distracts the batsman, he backs away. So turns around and goes back to his run up, which is towards the pavilion, coming in as we watch, and that's slightly overpitched. It's played slightly more aggressively by Hardman, but straight to sort of close mid-wicket fielder. There's never any thought of a run, but it's nice for a new batsman to feel bat on ball and do the right sort of thing. There's a Harrow fielder lying on the middle of the middle. I don't suppose the groundsman will be that happy to see him stretching, apparently, so he's expecting to come on and bowl, I suspect. So the next ball is driven through the offside by Hardman. It's missed by a tumbling short extra cover kind of position, but picked up by mid-off very calmly.
Yes, straight away Hardman's looked classy, clipped to mid-wicket straight to a fielder, and then a lovely cover drive, well stopped, and so he's straight away, he's into his stride, looks very confident.
So the last ball of Archie Maxwell's first over, and same sort of shot as we had a couple of balls ago, he's played hard into short mid-wicket. So Maxwell starts with a wicket maiden, well done him. Can't complain at all about that. The score is 45 for three. And I suspect we're going to see a double bowling change. Let's see.
I will hand over back to Tim, and he will describe the possible bowling change that's taking place.
No, I lied. Falcon has got the ball in his hand now. So they're going to keep going with him. He's going to start his seventh over.
So this will be his last one, Andy, as this is the maximum he's allowed under the ECB fast bowling regulations.
Right, so in he comes. Tall, right-handed. It's, well pitched up, but it's played sort of through a second, calmly along the ground, through a vacant second slip position.
Yes, Lather is now using the pace of the ball to manoeuvre it around rather than attacking it. His role has changed in the course of his innings so far. He was the man attacking at the beginning, and now he's going to have to dig in along with his captain.
He picks up two runs there, so it's still Lather facing. And he leaves that one alone outside the off stump. It's probably good to see them leaving alone. We've had already two of the three wickets have been caught behind, and one bowled. If you're just joining us, the score is 47 for 3. Eaton won the toss and elected to bat first. It's a 55 over game, so we're in the 14th over. There's a long way to still to go.
I think that's a key issue, Andy. There's more than 40 overs left in the Eaton innings, and plenty of time for them to rebuild this innings with a couple of good partnerships here, but also no need for them to be chasing the game at this stage.
No.
They can lose the game in the next hour, but they can't win it.
I think that's probably very wise advice. I wonder if they'll be thinking that in the middle, as Falcon comes in again, and it's driven slightly on the up, but beautifully square of the wicket by Lowther for 4. None of the fielders had a chance of cutting that one off.
Yes, that was a lovely shot. A lovely shot, square of the wicket between the two fielders. And would have been 4 on a much longer boundary than the one there is out there. One of those shots where the old-fashioned commentators would say, and nobody moved.
So that's the first 4 for 11 overs. And that one is left alone. A replica of the ball before the boundary. And you can just begin to hear a bit of noise from the crowd. I think it's probably the Eaton crowd celebrating that boundary. Eaton 50 is up. They're 51 for 3 off 82 balls at a run rate of 3.7 and over, which is a bit different to the 10 and over the first two overs went for. And that one was played and missed outside off, and hands on heads from the Harrow fielders. It obviously wasn't far off the outside edge, but no danger done. It's a dot ball, and the score at the end of the 14th over is 51 for 3.
Yes, the Harrow boys are beginning to arrive in the stand, accompanied by their masters there, and they're filling up from the front in good, well-ordered fashion.
So if you would like to contact the commentary box, we have an email address, which is ballbyball, all one word, at lords.org.uk. That is ballbyball at lords.org.uk, and we will try and read your emails and comment on them, or if you've got something interesting to tell us, do let us know, and we will even maybe give you a shout out on air. So it's Archie Maxwell to continue, left arm over from the pavilion end. It's pitched up, Hardman drives, but straight to mid off, and there is no run.
Yeah, there's a slip here. There's the man down at third man on one of those angular boundaries. He's in the middle of the two corners of rope down there. There's a man on the single, extra cover on the matting.
4 inside the ring on the offside, and a sort of square third man, 3 on the leg side, isn't it?
Yes, the 3 on the leg side is a mid-on, a mid-wicket, and the man at square leg on the fence. He's by the water hose outlets down there. And this would suggest he's going to try and bowl a nice tight off-stump line.
Yeah.
And nothing too wide on the leg side. And just put the pressure on.
And the bowlers have certainly settled down. We had a whole series of wides earlier on in the innings. That is flicked up and over and high in the air, but not as far as the boundary by Harbin, who didn't quite get hold of that. It was deliberately hit in the air. He knew that the two fielders on the leg side, mid-wicket and mid-on, were inside the ring. I think he was hoping to get it over them and for a 4, but he just got a bit underneath it, and it plugged when it landed and didn't keep rolling, and so fielders ran and picked it up and threw it back in. There's 2 runs. There was no danger of it being caught. Attacking intent, certainly, so that's good to see. And we're ready for the next ball, which is driven again through the tumbling mid-wicket, extra cover, but picked up by mid-off.
Yes, Hardman's shown that he's going to be positive here. I think the ball's pitched up, he's driving at it. And that line, that sort of middle stump, middle and leg line, is a line he's going to have to attack with the field the way it is, with those five men on the offside.
Yeah. Well, we've been playing for just over an hour now. We're in the 15th over, so not a particularly fast over rate, I would say. More akin to Test cricket. But I've no doubt that it will speed up later if we have some spin bowlers on who will get through their overs more quickly. So far, just seam bowling from Harrow, and some good seam bowling after the... Well, we had seven wides earlier on, but they've all but dried up now. I suspect we may see spin bowling from Eton too. Their spin bowlers have been quite useful this season, and we may even open with a spin bowler. So in comes left arm over, and this one is played through the gap on the leg side off his legs by Hardman. He didn't bother running for a single. He knew that as soon as he got it between mid wicket and mid on, no one was going to stop that. So that is another boundary to finish that over. Six off the over. The score is 57-43 after 15 overs. And this is an important partnership.
It is. That's the line that Hardman's going to have to attack from Maxwell the Elder, where he's bowling on middle and leg. Hardman's going to have to look for boundaries, I think, through that area. It's going to be much more difficult for him to play the ball coming across him,
yeah,
effectively through the offside.
So it is a change of bowler. We've got someone pacing up his run out. Do we know who this bowler is, Simon?
It's George Reed.
So George Reed, we're going to have two left arm over bowlers. Certainly looked like it from the way he's pacing out on the other side of the wicket.
This is where Harrow slavishly follow modern cricket fashions for left armers. Maybe it's one of those things these days in 2020 cricket where that angle and the variations they can offer you are incredibly useful. But of course, in schoolboy cricket, it's completely random whether the bowlers are left armers or right armers.
We've got 6-3 field still, so almost an identical field from both ends at the moment. He sort of gathers himself, goes past the outside edge with his first ball. That was a good and a fast ball.
Yeah, so George is the leading wicket taker for Harrow this season. He's taken 19 wickets in the 86 overs that he's bowled, and it cost him 20 runs for each wicket. So he's obviously a bowler who's got something about him.
See if we can describe his run-up. He sort of comes in off about 15 yards, sprints, then sort of gathers himself and uncoils as a spring. And that one is well pitched up on the pads of Lowther, who plays it out into the onside straight to mid-wicket. There's no thought of a single. So two good balls to start with. He's found his line and length pretty quickly.
And again, a similar sort of field for his left arm colleague, where he just has his three men on the leg side.
That one's slightly overpitched. It's played as a full toss. It's played along the ground, but straight to mid or off, so the batsman will feel he's missed out slightly there. He was aiming to pitch it, I suspect, up in the block hole, just overdid it slightly, and it was played before it had bounced.
Yeah, I think he's going to be trying to get this ball across the batsman rather than swinging it back into them.
This one slightly shorter and played back of a length, standing on his crease essentially by Lowther and out into the offside. That's picked up by the...
Yes, that's going to be his
ring of fielders all close in on it.
His way is back of the length with the fielders in the offside there, and just hard to pierce the gaps.
Yeah, which is what you're meant to do as a bowler, make it difficult for the batsman. And this one is again pitched up and just outside off stump, and it's played nicely along the ground to mid off, but not in a very aggressive way. It was just defended to mid off, really. Batsman content to play the ball on its merits, not trying to do anything drastic at the moment. The score is 57-3. We're in the 16th over with one ball left to go. It's been five dots so far. Oh, and this one's come off the outside edge slightly. I think they will pick up one run down to third man. Yeah, it's one run. So Lowther steals the strike. The score goes to 58-3. And the two new bowlers have both started well.
Yes, the Harry Maxwell, who'd opened the bowling for Harrow. He's gone off the field for a bit of a rest, one hopes, rather than any kind of injury situation. And their 12th man, Felix Hall, is on the field. I'm sure he's enjoying treading the hallowed turf.
Yeah.
And maybe looking forward to getting the ball into his hands and hurling one or two into the keeper.
I think it's always rather nice for the 12th man to do a bit of fielding on a day like this, because obviously he's the unlucky man not to have been picked on the hole. And so to at least get out onto the Lord's pitch and say, well, I've fielded at Lord's, I may not have batted or bowled, because obviously the 12th man can't do that, but had a go at being out in the middle. So Archie Maxwell starts from the pavilion end. His first ball is left alone outside the off stump by Lowther, whose score is 30 from 45 deliveries. So he's been there since the beginning and has scored over half of the runs for Eton so far. This one is defended head over the ball watchfully.
Yes, he's showing good patience. Billy Lowther is showing good patience. Maxwell is he's a busy sort of bowler. He comes in, the wicketkeeper's standing up. I think he's just trying to fire it into the keeper's gloves.
Lowther's in his fifth form year, isn't he? He's just done GCSE, so he's
got potentially
two more years to play at Lord's. This one is driven slightly more firmly, but all along the ground to mid-off.
Yes, he potentially has two more years. It would be very nice for him to start off with a 50 or a bigger score. He's also a wicketkeeper, not wicketkeeping this year.
Several wicketkeepers in the team, three wicketkeepers in the team, I think, aren't there?
Yes, that's true. And two of them will be fielding.
So, I'm not sure that's the done thing at
Lord's, to change your wicketkeeper halfway through. That's the sort of thing that happens in the sort of games that I play in now, where the wicketkeeper becomes rather tired after a few overs and likes to creaking knees.
It's a tiring job, wicketkeeping. Wicketkeeper, we should say, is now standing up. He's just walked up, so something more for the batsman to think about. Doesn't change the way he's played that. Head over the ball, out into the offside, five dot balls. Now, the last over, he faced five dot balls and then scored a single. We've had five dot balls on this over. What do we reckon? I don't think he's thinking about taking the strike. I think he's just thinking about taking runs when he can.
But the five balls all very similar.
Yeah.
Nice length, good line.
It's repeatable action from Maxwell. It doesn't look like there's much that can go wrong with it. And that one is played out to mid on. It's a maiden. The score stays at 58 for three.
That's very well bowled. That's the sort of bowling that just gently builds the pressure on the batsman
and induces
an error. They go looking for an attacking shot, perhaps, when it's not quite there. And that just builds the pressure.
Yep.
So let's see if his left-arm colleague can maintain that as he comes in from this nursery end. I wonder how much of a discussion they had about who was going to bowl which end. If Reed is the man pushing the ball across, perhaps the slope helps him to take the ball further away from the batsman, and perhaps he would have said, I'm the leading wicket taker, I can choose which end.
It looks like Reed is also the opening batsman for Harrow. So if you're leading wicket taker and opening batsman, it makes you quite an important part of a team. So we shall certainly see him later, but his job at the moment is with ball in hand as he sets off from the nursery end. Past the umpire, hurls that one up into the block hole, where it's defended up to mid-off, and there's no run. So we've had a lot of dot balls in the last two overs, so 13 balls and one run. Just pressure from Harrow at the moment, starting to prey upon the minds, maybe slightly more expansive shot, and they are going to scamper through for one as mid off had to move a bit to his left to stop the
yes that's a nice single ball, recognizing so. That it's a right-handed fielder there, and taking the single to his left. Now it looks like George Reed is a pretty good cricketer. He's scored more than 400 runs as well as being the leading wicket taker.
And there's another single here. It's played straight out to Point, who tumbles to his left and sort of pushes the ball round the goalposts. Doesn't quite stop it, so third man comes in and picks up the pieces. But in the meantime, Eton have scamper through for a single. So a good save at point there, but not quite stopping it dead.
And a few more Harrow boys have joined in the mound stand there. They're beginning to fill up their allocated spaces.
Is that the tavern stand?
Is that the tavern stand? That's where they are.
Oh, this one's gone aerial.
And that's out.
And it's out. Unfortunately, it is. And that is the big wicket of Hector Hardman. He tried to go over mid-on, mid-wicket, and all it did was go in the air. There's a big cheer.
Well, that's the pressure from these two good left-arm bowlers. They're busy bowlers. They've come in. They've bowled a good line and a good length. And then the pressure is on. Hardman thinks he needs to move the score along. He goes for a slightly more expansive shot, doesn't get hold of it, and is easily held at mid-on. He was going not so far backwards, perhaps just caught on the edge of the 30-yard circle there. And now Eton really are in a bit of trouble here. It's 60 for four. They're going to have to build a partnership and perhaps just dig in and see if they can't bat out their overs now and get some kind of total onto the board, because the Harrow boys, the momentum of the game is with them. They'll be cock-a-hoop.
Absolutely.
They've played really well in this last hour and a half after a nervous start. They've certainly been on top since about 10 past 11.
They've got the big guns out and the score is only 60.
Yeah. And so here comes Ollie Bradley. He's a energetic, dynamic sort of batsman, also a left-arm bowler. So I don't know whether he's faced his own bowling very often. I doubt it, but he'll be used to this, the thinking at least of these bowlers.
Yeah. Quite hard to face your own bowling, isn't it?
It's difficult, yes. Although there are plenty of us who would like to face our own bowling.
So, a bit of a fist pump from his partner. The batsman didn't cross, so it will be Bradley to face his first ball. I'm sure he's nervous. He's just walked through the long room, down the steps. The gate's opened for him by the steward on the gate. He jumps around, hops around, two-footed, just trying to compose himself.
Yeah,
checks the field, checks his pads.
Looks like he's about to return serve in a tennis match.
Right, so now he's in position and the bowler comes in. That one's played circumspectly off his front foot, head over the ball, middle of the bat, out into the offside.
Yes, he's going to have to play himself in, watch the ball pretty carefully and hope that he can fulfil some of his dreams, no doubt. He has dreams of scoring runs at Lord's.
Yes, all these boys, it will have been on their mind for a long time. And now it's really happening, and Harrow are definitely on top. I think he half thought about playing that one and then picked the bat up at the last minute and let it go through sensibly to the wicketkeeper, who picked it up and threw it to the slips. And that's the nagging line
from these left-armers of the ball just going across the batsman. He has to choose to play or to leave it. If he tries to force it, there's a slip and a wicketkeeper.
Yeah.
There's also three or four men in the covers. It just nags away at the batsman and builds pressure. And the Harrow boys have been very successful at that. They're playing very well at the moment.
If I was Harrow, I would change absolutely nothing at the moment.
Let's see if they're going to. It doesn't look like it. They're talking about something.
Sort of discussion about fielders and so on. At the moment, they've got a 6-3 field to left arm over bowler. I think they're considering moving one person across. Yeah. So we're going to have four on the leg side now. We've got a very short mid wicket.
Yes, so they've taken out the slip for Lowther. They'll probably put him back in again for Bradley. They've taken out the slip, taken the slip to short mid wicket and put one more man on the leg side.
So we've got square leg and fine leg, almost a long leg, on the boundary, the short boundary up against the mound stand there.
Yeah.
And off we go again. That one's played out to square leg, so there's a single because the fielder's got to come off the boundary to pick it up. So are they going to put a slip back in, do you think, now? Let's see.
Bradley will be pleased if they don't. It looks like they're just going to hold, and perhaps they've identified the lack of pace in the pitch, and they're happier to have these two men in front in semi-catching positions for the mistimed shots. I think that shows good response to the conditions.
It's two right-handed batsmen still. So, which has certainly made life easier for the bowlers. So it's Bradley facing, and he's done almost the same thing as the previous ball. He's turned it to square leg and picked up a single. There was a sort of half-hearted appeal from the fielding side for, I guess, LBW, but there was clearly bat in it as the umpire gave no other indication. And we've had two singles to square leg so far this over.
Yes, and Lowther plays the shot that's been offered to him with the slip taken out and the third man perhaps saving one and a half off the boundary rope. They're offering him this, I suppose you'd call it a late dab, a late cut shot,
yeah,
outside the off stump. He played it and he missed it.
It's taken by the wicketkeeper, who's standing up. And this time it's a better shot, slightly overpitched. And it's a repeat of a shot that Hardman played a couple of overs ago, between mid-wicket and mid-on, straight through the gap. And again, no movement from the fielders other than to go and collect it from the other side of the boundary rope. It's a four, a much-needed four for Eaton. And
that's a very nice shot. Very
yeah, it was a good shot.
Very nice
Lowther
shot.
Moves to 36. Well, he's still the only Eaton batsman to have broken into double figures, though. This one is the controlled play through the vacant slip region for a single all along the ground.
Which he plays off the front foot that time, and that enables yeah. him to get a little more weight into the shot, a bit more balance, and a bit more control.
Yeah.
He played it last time slightly falling away off the back foot. So Bradley
retakes his guard. He's only just taken a guard at this end, so he's taking a guard again with one ball to go in the over. Took a guard about four balls ago, settling himself down. Here we come, and he's right over the top of that one, defending it into the offside, and that's the end of the 19th over.
He has a distinctive twiddling of his bat. He rotates the bat in his hands, rather like Alex Stewart used to. And he, as he walks away and comes back in, he moves the bat around and...
Yeah.
Just settles himself like that. It's part of his routine, I guess.
The score is 67 for 4 in this 55 over game. Both these sides would be very used to playing 55 over one day cricket. They do it a lot in their normal school matches. Indeed, today's match is part of an overall competition called the Cowdrey Cup, named after Sir Colin Cowdrey. And the result of this may have a bearing on the destination of that cup, but I don't think the boys are thinking about that at the moment. That one is played and missed by Lowther outside off stump, and there's no run, just a few oohs and ahs from the fielders.
Yes, there it is, at the risk of repeating my summary of the action. There's that nagging line outside the off stump, asking questions of the yeah. batsman.
You're going to have to find a new way to describe that.
Does
I
he
think.
Not play it?
Same ball. Is it going to repeat again?
Repeats again, just slightly wider, and Lowther instead of play, he does play and miss, but it's almost a slash and a miss at that one because
yeah,
it's a little wider.
I thought for a moment that there'd been an edge, but actually it was just the ball swinging a bit late on, and a wide ball became even wider. It was a great stop by the wicketkeeper, tumbling to his right, saved the hands of first slip, and this one's much more accurate on line of off stump or just about
yes.
back of a length and defended into the offside.
And they're both bowler and batsman have achieved exactly what they were trying to achieve. The bowler, a decent delivery, the batsman's well behind it, watches the ball onto the bat.
Very few bad balls here, and so as soon as there is one, I think the batsmen feel they ought to try and score off it, which maybe induces, and that's a bad ball. It's gone just down the leg side. I think it might go for four. It has, right up in front of the pavilion. It was a fine tickle from Lowther.
Which he gets value for this time. There was one yeah. early, very early in the game, perhaps in those first two overs, where he played a very similar shot and the ball came down to this fine leg boundary, and he thought he might have got something on it, but the umpire gave leg bias. But that one he certainly did.
Yeah, we've got a very...
The Harrow fielder had the great privilege of jogging towards the pavilion.
He's quite square there at fine leg, almost long leg. Here we go again. And this one is a wide ball outside off stump. So just losing a little bit of the discipline that they've been so good at, these Harrow bowlers. We've had two wides outside off and one down leg, which has gone for four so far this over.
There's that distinctive slope that goes up to the famous white benches where the Harrow fine leg fielder picked up that ball of the penultimate ball.
Yes, which go back a little way, and the boundary was the fence in front of the pavilion. They didn't have the boundary rope down in front of it, but
that would have made sliding and diving to stop the ball into a brick wall more dangerous. Perhaps that's why older players didn't dive and slide so much.
It may well be that they had the advertising hoardings or the walls.
And of course, at some grounds, they had spectators.
Yes, that's right. Here we go again. Last ball of the... is it the last ball of the over? It's nicely played square of the wicket, but picked up by a fielder. There's a sharp bit of fielding there from Harrow. He can get through for a single, but it could easily have gone for four, but it didn't.
And I think
there is one more ball to come. We've had two wides this over.
Times further gone by on the outfield here at Lord's for the Eton-Harrow match, there would have been carriages in which the families of the players and the various spectators of the two teams would have watched the game, I guess, even perhaps taken their lunch in these carriages.
Going back to the 19th century. When was this first played? 1805?
1805. Oldest game at Lord's.
And that final ball is defended out to short cover.
And I think that that perhaps carried on until the 1930s or so, that tradition of watching the game from a carriage. I can't imagine on a hot day that would have been particularly pleasant to be. And I wonder what they did with the horses as well, as the carriages must have been brought in and then the horses taken away. Adam's joined us. He almost certainly knows the answer to this question.
I'm not sure if I'm an expert on carriages and watching games from that vantage point, I have to admit.
We just want to know what happened to the horses.
Well, I imagine they were taken to somewhere shady, weren't they, to get a drink and a well-earned rest, no doubt. 74 for four then, Eton, as in comes the bowler once more, Maxwell from the pavilion end, and for half a second there it looked like Lowther might have just flicked that one into the leg side to mid-wicket, but it dropped short.
From time to time he does play slightly uppish shot. I think that's partly to do with his batting technique, which Simon says he does walks with the ball. I think perhaps there isn't a huge amount of pace in this pitch, and so sometimes the ball isn't quite there.
So Archie Maxwell, left arm over, continues from the pavilion end. Nicely angled to third man there by Lowther for a single. 75 for four. He's moved on to 43 now from 62 deliveries. And Ollie Bradley at the other end, just the one run to his name so far.
Yes, Ollie Bradley's also being offered this single down to third man. That's, I think, the Harrow captain may feel, he's just coming in to slip here. He feel that there's the... just as the ball goes across and might be being swung in by Maxwell the elder here, that he will have a chance at slip. That's where he caught Nodder, straight in, held onto it nicely.
Yeah, that was his first ball, in fact. So there is that slip. Wicketkeeper standing up, and he comes again, pushed into the offside by Bradley, but won't get a run to point. He does the fielding right on the edge of some dark green matting, which is on the Test match wicket, I believe, for next month's first test against South Africa. And then a couple of pitches across to the right, there's a lighter green piece of matting which will be for next Saturday's One Day Cup final between Surrey and Nottinghamshire. Archie Maxwell, when he comes again and pushing on the front foot once more, Bradley, the same fielder, picks up. So two balls of almost identical fashion, still 75 for four.
Yes, two of those Surrey players, the Curran brothers, would have played in the Cowdery Cup competition
when they were at Wellington College.
And there are several other first-class players at the moment who would have... there are some of the... well, for instance, Gary Balance and Sam Northeast, the Harrow stars.
Indeed. Maxwell in again off the back foot. Bradley will get a single this time as it's slightly further behind square to the diving point fielder, and he does get the run to move himself to 276 for four. Yes, I remember 2006, which I think was the first year we did this ball-by-ball service. Sam Northeast, who I think might have been 14 that year, was batting for Harrow. Scored the most elegant 12 I think I've ever seen in my life before, unfortunately, got himself run out.
Some years later, he scored a very elegant century as well. played very nicely.
and scored quite a few elegant centuries for Kent this season as well. Archie Maxwell, then he comes and bowls, and again, nicely angled down to third man by Lowther for that single, which has brought him quite a few runs already today. Big reach above his head there by Ferreira, the wicketkeeper, to take that throw. End of that over. We've had 21 of this Eton innings so far. They are 77-4 after winning the toss and electing to bat.
Yeah, it's still a long way to go for Eton. They do need to build a partnership. They need to keep the Harrow boys out in the field. They, having put themselves into bat, they need to try and maximise that advantage, even though they won't have the high score they were hoping for. They need to make the Harrow boys work hard to chase the ball. They need to score as many as they can. I wouldn't be able to offer much advice about what they think is a good total at the moment.
Well, half an hour to lunch as well, which might be something that's on their mind as well. Reed continuing from the nursery end here. Unfortunately, he is wided there as he goes outside off to the right-handed Lowther.
There are those couple of lines drawn, perhaps a foot in from the what we might say would be a test match wide sort of thing, and the ball goes past those, and the umpires signal wide.
Yeah, we had that yesterday in the varsity match as well, similar markings as well, which they were using as a guide. Reed continues up to the crease and bowls. Another handsome drive from Lowther, which unfortunately doesn't get him a run. He's played that a few times in this inning so far. Plays very elegantly straight, but unfortunately has picked out fielders on quite a lot of occasions.
Yes, the slip is in now. They put the slip back in again. They obviously still think they have a chance from an edge with the ball going across him.
Reed. And he comes up to the crease. And again, another elegant drive down the ground, but no run again. So good fielding from Harrow here.
They have these two men mid-off and mid-on really quite straight. And I think that's they obviously know where the ball goes when Reed is bowling, and they're cutting off those. They're sort of half singles, really. They're cutting those off very well.
Yeah, they're a good sort of 10 paces in from the edge of the fielding circle, to give you an idea. Reed in again. Another fullish length delivery and dropped, unfortunately. Return catch. It was very sharp as Lowther drove that one uppishly towards mid on. He's got his head in his hands there as he's down on the deck, Reed, but I'll tell you what, if he'd held on to that one, that would have been a very impressive effort. It looks like he might have damaged his finger, actually.
Yes,
as a
he's
result.
Rather stoically walking off the field. He stopped to have a bit of a rest. I think they're calling on.
Well, I hope he hasn't broken it, because straight away there wasn't any hesitation. He was making his way off. It might be a dislocation, potentially, I don't know.
It does look like it hurts. It does look like that. That's a real shame for him.
Well, he's going to have to come off in the middle of his over there as well, unfortunately. Straight away there, no hesitation. He said, I'm going off here. I'm not carrying on. We saw a nasty injury yesterday, actually, in the varsity match for an Oxford bowler who... Thomas Brock, who dived on a ball down in front of the pavilion, actually, and looked like he dislocated his shoulder. That, I hope, is not too serious an injury for Reed, who's bowled very well so far, it has to be said, from this nursery end.
So he's made his own steam off the field and up the pavilion steps. I can see Robin Martin Jenkins in the dressing room there. He looks thoughtful. No doubt he'll be able to see what the extent of the injury is in a very few moments. Meanwhile, the players are sort of milling around in the middle.
Well, there was a single off that ball as well. That's important to let you know. So Lowther moves to 45 and 79-4. But Harrow got to change the bowler in the middle of the over here. Max Aliff, thank you very much, Simon, who's going to come on and, first and foremost, finish off the three balls in this over from the nursery end, having taken a catch earlier on to get rid of Hector Hardman.
And if we're carrying on with the brothers theme, two sets of brothers in the Harrow side. Max Aliff, brother of Freddie Aliff, who just last year left Eton. And himself, Freddie, very, very decent cricketer, very keen. And his younger brother here is playing for Harrow. And no doubt the Aliff family will be in the stands somewhere. Perhaps having forgotten their earlier affiliations.
Well, it's disappointing we didn't see much of Tom Nodder, actually, earlier on with the bat for Eton, after watching his older brother yesterday score a very impressive 76 from 60 deliveries for Oxford in that game that the Dark Blues won by 9 runs. In fact, it was his innings that probably was the difference between the two sides. But Aliff is the new bowler coming on in the middle of Reed's over there after he was forced off with an injury. He's a right arm bowler from this nursery end, and short and wide outside off stump. That's very much a loosener, and he's wided.
Yes, I think that's understandable. Nobody had told him to warm up.
No.
He wasn't thinking about bowling. He hadn't had a chance to do his little stretches. He might not have done them right in the middle of the square like his colleague earlier. Perhaps he was fielding on the boundary, I think, and he would have had a chance to do one of those lower back stretches.
Yes, well, he's going through a few more of those now, actually, at the top of his run as he strides away from us up to the crease. That's a better line and length this time, and left alone by Bradley. No run, 80 for 4.
So it looks like the Harrow spinners will be coming on later in the innings. Perhaps mm-hmm. they're also reading the pitch as quite slow, and as Eaton would look for an eventual acceleration, that they would find it harder to get them away later on in the innings. Eaton won't be thinking of that for the moment.
80 for 4, Eaton, after winning the toss earlier and electing to bat. Another wide from Ailiff, unfortunately, as he continues to find his radar in this over that he suddenly had to find himself come on and complete following the earlier injury to George Reed, which looked pretty nasty as he tried to take a sharp return catch from Billy Lowther, who drove back at him with some force, and it looked like a finger on his right hand that he damaged as he went off straight away. Ailiff, in he comes and bowls. That's a better line and length this time, and once more left alone outside off by the right-handed Bradley.
Yeah, we very much hope he'll be able to bat and that he'll have a chance to continue playing in the game. Perhaps a little ice if he hasn't dislocated his finger, perhaps a little ice and a little moment to collect himself. It would be a really shame if he was forced out of the game by being injured.
Yeah, it was absolutely. Same yesterday for Oxford's Thomas Brock, who couldn't get a bowl in that game yesterday, and he comes and bowls this time. That's a drive out into the offside, but fielded by point, so a dot ball to finish that over, which two bowlers had to bowl between them. Tim, you're going to make way, aren't you, surely?
Yes, indeed. Simon's going to come in. I don't think he has a direct line to the Harrow dressing room anymore, but he'll be able to share perhaps some of their thinking with you.
Thank you, Tim. Much appreciated. So, 22 overs bowled, Eaton 81 for 4. Remember, this is a 55-over-a-side game. We'll have a lunch interval at 1 o'clock in around about 25 minutes' time. So we'll take a pause for that 40-minute interval before we resume this Eaton innings. Simon, afternoon.
Afternoon. Vital, I think, that Eaton get through to lunch without losing another wicket here.
Yeah.
It's really important, 4 down. To get through to lunch without another wicket, they're still very much in the game.
Maxwell continues from the pavilion end. Foolish length delivery, which not timed on the drive by Lowther, goes straight to mid off for a dot ball. It's definitely been their morning, hasn't it, Harry?
I think so, and I think they've read the pitch as being slightly slow and seamer friendly. There's no sign. Normally a spinner appears a bit earlier than this for Harrow, and they've held them back, bowling the seamers. And I think it's just a little bit slow, the wicket.
Maxwell, left arm over the wicket, continues. Right-handed Lowther solidly defends that one forward for a dot ball. So who are the spinning options in the Harrow side?
Yes, Rahul Shah is one spinning option, off-spin, and Rahul Wijeratne is the other one, who also bowls off-spin, a little bit flatter off-spinner. They'll both bowl at some stage.
Sure. Archie Maxwell, though, left arm over bowling for the time being from the pavilion end, tries to work it into the leg side. There's Lowther, but straight to mid-wicket.
Yes, that injury to George Reed is potentially important. He's the opening batsman, of course, a heavy run scorer. You never know with a dislocation, really, do you? I mean,
no.
It could be that he just gets it snapped into place and he'll be fine, but it can be nasty.
Yeah, and a bit of swelling as well, perhaps. I'm not sure if medicine can technically fix straight away. This time again, the nice little angled bat by Lowther down to third man brings him another single, moves him to 46 from 70 deliveries, and Eaton now 82 for 4 in the middle of the 23rd over of their 55 over innings.
Yes, and Bradley's batted very sensibly so far. In fact, his dad went to Harrow, and I certainly remember coaching his dad in the 1980s.
Archie Maxwell older of the two Maxwell brothers playing today. Appeal for leg before and given out. So Bradley goes, and that's a fifth Eton wicket down with the score only on 82. Ollie Bradley goes leg before to Archie Maxwell, and Harrow's dominance here with the ball continues.
Yes, he stepped across towards the off stump and looked like he was playing through the leg side. So he obviously played across a straight one there, looking mid-wicketish, I thought, there. And I presume that Archie, as he normally does, Archie Maxwell, probably brought the ball into the right-hander. And a quick decision from Steve Goldie, the umpire.
So another wicket falls, and Eton's struggles to form any sort of partnership in this innings continue now. So just to remind you, if you've only just joined us on the ball by ball service, you can get in touch with us via email, ball by ball, that's all one word, at lords.org.uk, ball by ball at lords.org.uk. Thank you to a couple of you who have already dropped us a line and got in touch, that's much appreciated. Do keep us informed throughout the day where you're listening to. So Eton won the toss and elected to bat first. They made it to 30 without loss before Ben Elias was bowled by Harry Maxwell for 5, and then Tom Prentice was caught by the wicketkeeper Ferreira off Will Falcon for just a single. Tom Nodder, he went for just 2 after Rahul Widjaratne caught him at first slip off Archie Maxwell, and then the Eton captain Hector Hardman was caught by Max Aliff of the bowling of George Reid, who's just gone off with a finger injury for 7, and then that wicket that just fell a few moments ago, that was Ollie Bradley for just 2 leg before wickets to Archie Maxwell, who now has 2 wickets to his name. New batsman striding to the crease for Eton at number 7 is Tom Liu, who has got a bit of a job on his hand now, hasn't he, for his side.
They've got to find a partnership from somewhere. Someone's got to hang around with Billy Lowther and build a partnership. They just need one partnership and build something that they can defend. Someone's got to hang around now and bat these overs. Certainly get through to lunch as the first aim. It's 20 minutes away, and then build it from there. But certainly I wouldn't expect too many histrionics from Lou early on here. He's got to build it and really hang around and keep Lowther company.
So left-hander coming out to join the right-handed Lowther. He is wearing a jumper as well, is Tom Liu. So clearly not someone who's been affected by the heat wave of earlier this week. Feeling a little bit of the chill on slightly overcast day, although there's a lot more blue sky, has to be said, above than there was at the start of this game. Still a nice little breeze across the ground. So the field for the left-hander means that the short boundary is to his offside. So a left armour in Archie Maxwell with 2 for 17 to his name to a left-handed batsman in Tom Liu. Eton 82 for 5 in a bit of trouble after winning the toss and electing to bat. In he comes and beats the outside edge of the left-hander. First ball, nice finish there to his wicket-taking over. That's 23 overs gone in this Eton innings. They are 82 for 5.
Yes, and Archie Maxwell's interesting because this season he's been injured for most of the season. He's only come in recently and he's played a handful, 3 matches in fact before this. He's taken 5 wickets. He was ever present last year, and this year just been out with a nasty injury and just come back. So he's dropped onto a lovely line in length, and he's known for his reliability.
Yeah.
And he's really, really put Harrow in control here.
So we are going to see a change in the bowling from this nursery end, which is slightly enforced by George Reid coming off with that injury, and Max Aliff having to fill in for 3 deliveries for him in the previous over. And it's Rishi Widjaratne who is coming on to bowl for Harrow. So what's his action?
Off spin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's an off spinner. He's the youngster of the side. Mm-hmm. He's only come in for the last 3 or 4 games and really impressed. He's had a great first 2 years at Harrow in the yearlings and then the removed junior colts.
So he's going to be bowling from the nursery end, and the field is just being adjusted by his older brother there, I believe, who's the captain, just telling mid-wicket to move a bit straighter. And he comes over the wicket to the right-hander, who worked it into the leg side for a dot ball as square leg does the fielding.
Yes, he's got a fairly standard off-spinner's field. No one behind square on the short on the leg side.
And he comes again. Nice loop delivery, but pulled away and into the vacant spaces on the far boundary out to the grandstand. And that's going to go for four, and that's going to be 50 for Billy Lowther, who raises his bat towards the Eton balcony in the home dressing room in the pavilion today, and also towards the mound stand, where a lot of his peers and also some of his colleagues of Eton affiliation are sat. So he's reached 50 there from 72 balls with 7 fours in 105 minutes. And continues to take strike and tries to work it into the offside this time, but doesn't make any contact, and through to the wicketkeeper it goes for a dot ball.
It's a difficult situation for Lowther. He's got to take advantage of the bad balls still, but he's also got to make sure he bats through the innings.
In comes Rishi Wijeratne once more, and pushes on the front foot this time. Does Lowther dot ball out to the older brother of the Wijeratnes, who is fielding an extra cover. In from the nursery end once more. Not much bounce there as he turned that one into the leg side to deep square leg for a single. So well watched on that occasion by Lowther there to keep his eyes on that.
There's
one.
Been lots of evidence this is a low wicket. I don't think it's going to be easy to bat later on. It's going to get lower, if anything. It won't get more bounce. It'll get lower and lower. And if Eton can put something on the board, you know, it might be interesting.
Yeah. Well, I've done this game in previous years where the score of around about 170, 180 has actually been a decent total. On a similar sort of surface, as you mentioned, Simon, where it can be tricky to judge the pace and the bounce later on in the day. So that's got to be something they've got to bear in mind.
It's a used wicket, I think that's the key.
Yeah.
It's old wicket.
And he comes again to the left-handed Lou this time, who on the front foot pushes that out into the leg side. Dot ball to finish Rishi Wijeratne's first over, which went for 5 runs. So 24 overs gone and Eton at 87 for 5.
Yes, critical period, as we've been saying all along the last few minutes, really, to lunch here. Quarter of an hour still to go, and it really is important Eton get through to lunch now with only 5 down and build something that they can defend. As I said, I really think that if they can put something on the board, something around 170, as you just suggested, it's certainly defendable. And I think they'll be aware of that and perhaps rein themselves in and bat 55 overs and get something on the board.
Yeah. Long way to go though, 55 overs, that's 31 overs away at the moment and 5 wickets down. But Lowther, who's 51 off 75 balls, could play a big part in that. Archie Maxwell continues, and it's a slightly uppish drive into the covers, but into a vacant space, and the fielder who is sweeping out there on that extra cover boundary picks up, and there's a single, 88 for 5.
What I like about Lowther's innings is that he's taken every opportunity to score, you know, even though he's got to bat through, he's still taking advantage of every bad ball and keeping it ticking, which is really, really good. He could easily go into his shell at this stage and say, well, I've got to stay here, but he's not.
Archie Maxwell just rubs the ball on the back of his trousers to shine it a bit more. Left armour to left hand and out from the pavilion end. Foolish length delivery, nicely driven by the left-handed Lou, but well stopped as well by extra cover there, who prevents that being a run. Now we're pushing towards 1 o'clock, and you were saying to me off air a bit earlier on, Simon, that the contingent from Harrow will swell, hopefully, in the afternoon.
That's right. In fact, a new system at Harrow this year. The cricketers who've played cricket for the school can leave after break, and they would have been here. Well, they're here now.
Maxwell again from that nursery. And tries to work up the back foot this time, but no run out to mid-off.
So the cricketers, because of all the hours they've put in and their interest in cricket, are here now. The non-cricketers in the school can't leave until after lunch. The only trouble is they have to be looked after at Harrow, so a lot of the teachers
can't get here.
So there's a mixed feelings, but it's an interesting new system.
Archie Maxwell continues, left arm over the wicket from the pavilion, and again a foolish length delivery to the left-handed Lou, who can't time that one and just drives straight to extra cover.
But I think it's fair, as far as the boys are concerned, it's a fair system. A lot of the boys who will come this afternoon haven't got that much interest in cricket, perhaps. Sure. And I think the boys here who are here now have earned the right perhaps to come here early and see almost the whole game, and they are certainly making some noise already up in the tavern stand.
Indeed. Archie Maxwell up to the crease and bowls shortish length delivery, cut away and almost caught by point. In fact, it spilt over his head there, almost like a goalkeeper parrying it over the crossbar. I'm not sure if he saw that one or judged it correctly. So Lou gets away there, he's off the mark with a single, but he could have been on his way without scoring.
That was really a straightforward chance, just above his head. It just looped at Max Aliff, and he'll be disappointed with that. He's a decent fielder. He's looking disappointed, definitely, at the moment, his body language.
Well, he's already taken one catch today to get rid of Hector Hardman, And that one was probably simpler than the one he took earlier on, I would say. Mm. So a chance spill there, and Tom Liu gets a run, but could have been on his way without scoring any. In comes Archie Maxwell again, and that's nicely driven once more by Lowther out into the covers, but just the single to the fielder, who is sweeping that longer boundary in front of the grandstand. So single at the end of that over, it means he keeps the strike, and Eaton, after 25 overs, are now 90 for 5.
So I think Lowther is going to be a good player. He's got two more years after this, and the way he's playing at the moment looks full of confidence. And as I said, he's taking every opportunity to keep the scoreboard ticking over despite the situation. Really, you know, good luck to him. He's played superbly this morning, and without his contribution, you know, where would Eaton be at the moment? So he now has to bat through and get 100. If he does that, they'll have something to defend.
Yeah. So 30 overs remaining in the innings. I'm sure he'll be thinking of that as his main focus and target. Rishi Wijeratne starts the second over from the nursery end, and a back foot forcing shot goes straight to extra cover for a dot ball. There's a few of those Harrow boys that we were just talking about in the top tier of the Tavern Stand, making their voices heard. Again, nicely worked into the leg side by Lowther off the back foot for a simple single to deep square leg, 91 for 5.
Yes, Rishi is well known for getting through an over in a minute and a half. He's one of these guys that will run back to his mark, and if he bowls some dots, he'll get through overs very, very quickly.
Yeah, and with a left and a right-hand combination, when there is a single, that means there's a little bit of a delay in the field adjusting and a few players moving around. So the two run-saving fielders at long on and long off come up to save the single at mid on and mid off. Looping delivery to the left-hander traps him on the pads there, squaring up Tom Liu, but dot ball, no run. And as you say, Simon, he is through. The delivery is quite quickly. The ball's back to him within a second, and the next delivery again is pushed out into the offside by the left-hander. Still 91 for 5, and I think it's about 5 seconds before the ball gets back to him at the start of his run-up at the nursery end again. Ooh, nearly beats the forward defensive this time as it just squirts off the inside edge and the front pad.
Yeah, there's no time for comments.
No.
For me, I think it's
no.
So quickly through this.
So the batsman just pauses there, realising that.
He's trying to slow him up, isn't he?
Yeah. Just twiddles his bat and steps away from his mark for a second, but back on now and leaves that one alone outside off. Nice delivery to finish that over, which probably took all of about 2 minutes, I think, there to get through that one that just cost the single. So
he's certainly well known for the way he gets through the overs. And it's up to the batsman sometimes just to slow the bowler down, get him out of his rhythm. And I think Tom Liu was trying to do that over, just backed away. He said, hang on a minute, I'm not quite ready for this.
Yeah.
Wait for me. And I think that's entirely right.
So I think we're going to see spin from both ends now, I believe. Mm-hmm. Looks like Archie Maxwell is going to take a blow after that spell of 7 overs that got him 2 wickets, so it's going to be Wijeratne from both ends.
And this can't have happened very often, I would suggest, probably over the years, with brothers bowling from both ends at the same time. And again, Rahul is an off spinner who will bowl quite flat, bowling in at middle and leg to try and bowl tight, rather than a bowler who bowls with slips and attacks.
Sure. So in he comes now. Around the wicket to the right-hander to begin with, beats his outside edge. Oh, nice delivery to start with there. No run.
I think you can see that coming around the wicket is again indicative of the fact that he's trying to bowl tight maidens rather than, because obviously coming around the wicket, he's got to try and pitch it on and straighten it to get an LBW.
And he's also got that short boundary to the leg side as well to contend with for the right-hander. And he comes. Nice little flighted delivery there, which Lowther works into the offside. He'll be quick here, he'll get two. Yes, he does. Good run in between the wickets and a good throw as well from the fielder out there on the point boundary. Brings Lowther 2 more runs. He moves to 56 from 81 deliveries. Eaton 93 for 5 now. And Rahul Wijeratne is back with the ball in hand around the wicket, pushed into the offside this time by Lowther, no run to extra cover.
It's a very standard off-spinner's field here. 5-4 offside with a sweeper out on the off-boundary and a deep square leg on the leg side. It's a pretty standard field.
Walking up to the crease is Rahul Wijeratne. Darts that one in. And again, repeat of the previous ball as Lowther's just content to push that one out into the offside.
The idea here for Harrow will be to get through as many overs before lunch while they're on top and get some overs on the board.
Yeah, 6 minutes, 7 minutes or so till that lunch break. So if they can rattle through two or three more, that'll be take them up to around about 30. Widjuranyi comes over the wicket this time to the right-hander again. Darting delivery just short of a length and defended out in front of point. 93 for 5, Eaton, after winning the toss and electing to bat first in this 55-over-a-side game. Billy Lowther has been there from the start. He is 56 not out of 84 balls. Rahul Widjuranyi, the Harrow captain, in again. Nice drive this time by Lowther. We'll get him at least one out to deep extra cover. No more, though, as the fielder is quickly onto that and throws it in to the bowler's end. So a single to finish that over, which Lowther will keep the strike. 94 for 5 from 27.
Yes, and Lowther seizing any chance he can to get onto the front foot and drive attractively through the covers. He's done many times this morning. And batsman having a little bit of a chat, maybe trying to just slow up. They want to prevent Harrow getting through lots of overs before lunch if they can, and just slow them up a little bit.
So 27 gone. Rishi Widjuranyi and Rahul Widjuranyi bowling in tandem here for Harrow. It's the younger of the two brothers with the ball in his hand, preparing to start his third over from this nursery end as the sun again peeks out from behind the clouds. And he comes to the right-hander, pushes it straight back to the bowler, no run.
Actually running back to his mark, yeah. Rishi.
That keen to get on with it. He's sprinting back to his mark, and he comes once more. And again, Lowther tries to work it into the leg side, but a straighter delivery that time means he goes straight to the man at straight mid-wicket. Rishi Widjuranyi. Again, down the pitch, Lowther tries to come, but can only push it straight back to the bowler. So through three balls there in probably about 30 seconds. And once more. Again, looping delivery, and again a solid forward defensive back to the bowler. 94 for 5, the score remains.
Two men out on the leg side now, plenty of protection.
As he comes in once more, again, gives it plenty of flight. Good drive, but just the one run to the deep cover fielder in front of the mound and the tavern stands. Lowther moves to 58, 95 for 5. There will be a little bit of a break now between deliveries as the field adjusts for the left-handed Lou.
Yes, a slip goes in for the left-hander with the off-spinner turning it away from the left-hander, of course. A slip goes back in for the new batsman.
And the batsman again takes his time before taking his guard. And around the wicket comes Rishi Widjuranyi this time. And he tries to cut it away, and it looked like he missed it there and came off the keeper's gloves. Ferreira, who wasn't quite expecting it, but a dot ball is the result. And again, he's through and over in lightning quick time, Rishi Widjuranyi.
Yes, and I suppose a few minutes left before lunch now. Harrow have only bowled 28 over. I know a lot of wickets have fallen, so that takes time for new batsmen to come into the crease. That's just probably taken a couple of overs off. But they'd want to bowl at 16 an hour at least, I would have thought. So a little bit slow.
So about 3 minutes to go until that lunch interval. We're starting the 29th over. Rahul Widjuranyi nicely flicked into the leg side once again by Billy Lowther for a single out to deep square leg on the short boundary. 96 for 5. Eaton move on to Lowther onto 59 from 91 balls. And this will just hold it up perhaps a touch as once more the left-hander comes on strike. So if they're wise here, Harrow, they could rattle through this over and get one more in before 1 o'clock.
I'm surprised he hasn't put a slip in for the left-hander now, because Rahul, of course, is also turning it away from Tom Liu. And I think at this stage, just before lunch, probably Lou's going to try and defend and get through to lunch. It's worth putting a slip in here.
Yeah. Hasn't got one, as Simon was saying there. Just a collection of fielders on the off and leg side in the ring. Foolish delivery this time, which will work away off his legs for a single out to deep square leg, who fumbles there. Do they think about the second? No, they don't, because he's quick to jump on that one, which just slightly moved off a wicket end there in front of him.
Yes. It's a huge square here at Lord's from where we are. You see. And he's on the boundary, but actually there are strips all the way out to the boundary.
Yeah, rattles across that. And he comes again from the pavilion end. And Orr opened the face and guides it fine down towards this boundary. The chase is on for the fielder there. He's got to put a slide in, does well there, saves it, but clatters into that temporary sight screen as he does so, which might have been slightly painful, but great effort. That's 3 on the board for Eaton, which will take them to 100 and take Lowther on to 62.
Yes, because of Lowther, they've maintained a rate of scoring of just over 3 and over, so they're still ticking along, and if they can build a partnership, there's still every chance of getting something they can defend.
100 for 5 then, Eaton. Coming 170 balls at a rate of 3.5 and over. Lou, the left-hander, defends to point for a dot ball. Two balls left in this over, which could be the last one before lunch. 12:59 according to my clock, but I'm just looking for there, over there, underneath Old Father Time. That looks like it's ticked beyond one already, so I think this will be the last over. And he comes again. Left-hander pushes out, two extra cover, no run.
I think Lowther is very happy here at the non-striker's end to get through to lunch and let Tom Lou take this last ball.
Which Rahul Widjaratne, the Harrow captain, will bowl around the wicket from the pavilion into the left-handed Eton batsman Lou, who just pushes that one to straight mid-wicket for a dot ball. So that's 29 overs gone. 100 for 5 is the score, and that is indeed going to be the lunch interval here at Lord's, as the bales are removed from the stumps at either end and the players will make their way off towards the pavilion, up the steps and through the long room for a 40-minute lunch interval. So just to remind you, if you've not been with us from the start of the game today, Eton won the toss earlier and elected to bat first. And in that time, Eton have lost 5 wickets in their innings. 55 over a side game, just to remind you. One of the not-out batsmen who's been there from the start is Billy Lowther, who is 62 unbeaten. Reached 50 from 72 balls with 7 fours, but he's unfortunately seen Ben Elias go for 5. Tom Prentice dismissed for just 1. Tom Nodder dismissed for 2. His captain Hector Hardman was caught at mid-on for 7. And the last wicket that fell on 82 for 5 was that of Ollie Bradley, leg before, to Archie Maxwell for 2. Archie Maxwell has 2 wickets to his name. There's also been one for his younger brother Harry, and one for Will Falcon and George Reed, who is currently off the field at the moment with what looks like a dislocated finger. So that means that Harrow have used 7 different bowlers in this opening session. Just before we break for lunch, Simon, what have you made of the first 2 hours?
Harrow's morning, I think. After a quick start by Eton, Harrow fought back, and it's definitely been their morning. 5 wickets down. You'd want wickets in hand to be able to attack at the end of the innings, and Eton are not going to have that luxury, I'm afraid. They're going to have to battle through 55 overs and get something on the board. And Harrow will be very pleased with the way the left arm seamers have bowled, especially Archie Maxwell. And I don't think it's an easy batting wicket. Looking at all the bowling this morning, there's a lot that's been around Ferreira's ankles, the wicketkeeper for Harrow. It's been coming around his ankles. Spinners have bowled a couple that have kept a little bit low. The way Hardman got out, it seemed to stop. The ball seemed to stop, and he spooned it up into the air. I don't think it's a wicket that's a 250 wicket at all. No. This, and I think we may be surprised that 100 for 5 might be a little bit better than we think.
So thank you very much for that. That's lunch here after a couple of hours play. As I say, we're going to take a break for around about half an hour or so, and we'll be back with you at about 1:35 before they resume for the afternoon session. When we do, Eton will resume their innings on 100 for 5 after 29 overs. But in the meantime, from myself and the rest of the Ball by Ball commentary team here today, Lords, thank you very much for listening. And do get your thoughts in on email as well throughout the lunch interval to us. ballbyball@lords.org.uk. That's ballbyball, all one word, at lords.org.uk. Send them in to us and we'll read them out as and when. But as I say, for the time being, for the lunch interval, we'll be back in around about half an hour.